some things you just have to experience live. Like spring meet at Churchill Downs, where amazing moments come a half mile a minute. Experience Downs After Dark, where night comes to life on May 17th and June 21st. Twilight Thursdays, where happy hour rides into the sunset through June 26th. And Family Adventure Day, where memories stack up on June 8th. This spring meet, the race exhilarates. So live in the moment and get your tickets today at churchilldowns.com.
Look at you go, knocking stuff out, letting nothing get in the way. Whatever life throws at you, you throw it back at 97 miles an hour. And if the chips are down, you make more guacamole. Yes, you've got what it takes. Because there's no stopping you with you on your side. Everwise believes in the power of you, cheering as you take on the world. Everwise Credit Union. Confidence changes everything. Now go get 'em.
Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need, when you need them, at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Volkswagen is to close three factories amid job cuts. Ford is bleeding money in the EV shift. And Scout's Rex is popular. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you why Tesla still doesn't have adaptive headlights in the US, but it will very soon. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you are in the world, welcome along to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Tuesday, 29th of October. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. If you'd like to be a Patreon supporter, they get the podcasts first and ad free. They save even more time. Obviously, I'm here to distill today's EV news into 20-30 minutes. But if you'd like to save even more time because you're busy, check out the Patreon page at patreon.com/EV News Daily. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. Right, we'll start with this news that was breaking as I put yesterday's podcast out. But now we have all the details of Volkswagen to close three factories and cut jobs in Germany. VW planning to close at least three of its 10 production sites in Germany, at least. That could be more, potentially, resulting in tens of thousands of job losses. That's according to Daniela Cavallo, it's the chair of the company's Works Council. This marks an historic first for the company, ending their 87-year operation without a single plant closure in Germany. This decision is part of a larger strategy aimed at reducing costs amid falling sales and rising competition from Chinese manufacturers. Cavallo informed employees in Wolfsburg that the plan involves reducing production capacity at the remaining facilities and significant job cuts across all sectors. She cautioned that none are safe, indicating that workers should not rely on their job security. Proposed measures may include a 10% pay cut for employees who stay, a 2-year wage freeze, and the removal of a monthly €167 allowance, which could lead to an overall pay reduction of 18%. These restructuring plans follow Volkswagen's second profit warning in less than 3 months, driven by weak demand in both the Chinese and European markets. And that is alongside the challenges and shifting to electric vehicles, of which we will get onto in a moment, because it's affecting more than just Volkswagen. Cavallo criticized management for a lack of clear strategy and urged a comprehensive plan to maintain the company as a viable industrial centre. Now, Volkswagen employs roughly 300,000 people in Germany, with around 120,000 at the Wolfsburg site. The company has encountered difficulties recently, including a 14% decline in net profit in the first half of the year, and increased competition has led to warnings of possible plant closures and job reductions. It's about a month ago that this story first surfaced. And obviously, there was something to the rumours. Well, Cavallo stressed that management's plans could greatly affect the workforce and expressed concerns about the current direction, saying, and I quote, "We are not productive enough at our German sites," end quote. VW's management has admitted that operational costs in Germany are currently 25 to 50% higher than expected, making some factories up to twice as costly as those of competitors. The German government is aware of Volkswagen's difficulties and has said that any mistakes by management should not be impacting the employees. The government is focused on job preservation amid ongoing negotiations between VW and IG Metall's union, which is pushing for a 7% wage increase for workers. Wow. You know what, I might put together a special bonus podcast. There's more to this story, especially the shift to EVs, than I can possibly cover in a single segment of our daily roundup news. I think if I get a chance, maybe the next 24 hours, again, I'll do some more thinking about this story. One of the stories that has always stuck in my mind, and I've seen nobody mention it today or the last few hours, 24 hours of this story breaking, and that was the previous head of Volkswagen Group, Herbert Diess, who was forced out. And, you know, for many reasons, Volkswagen's struggling. The CARIAD software department has seen significant challenges. Let me say it that way. Look at the $5 billion deal with Rivian to get their software. I rated Herbert Diess very highly because he was able to communicate a vision. Yes, he would do things like photo ops with Elon Musk, and he was, you know, very friendly, very effusive in his praise for Tesla. One of the things he did just before he left, as that process was ongoing, was he very publicly said, Tesla can make a vehicle quicker in their factories than we can, and we've had a lot more practice, and that's not right, and I want to fix it. And he was absolutely pilloried by the unions, by some of the internal factions at Volkswagen to do with the way that it's kind of owned, even by the area that they operate in, owns part of it as well, and eventually he would leave. And all he was doing was pointing out a fact. 4 years ago, this was. I'll get an exact date on that. I'll get the exact quote as well if I put together a special podcast. In my mind, that was a turning point for Volkswagen. Here's the boss simply stating a fact. This many seconds to make a Tesla. This many seconds to make a Volkswagen. We're all making EVs. They're new to the game. We've been doing it a long time. They're better at it than us. And he absolutely got crucified publicly and left the job shortly after, was forced out of the business. I rate Herbert Diess very highly. I've never worked inside Volkswagen. If you worked for him, you know, your direct report, you might have other things to say. And there obviously are significant failings that go deeper than the current management at Volkswagen. But that one always stuck in my mind because people did not want to hear it. The unions, the works council, it was fingers in their ears time. And now look, fast forward 4 years, 3 years maybe, and factories are being closed. I know that there's probably 1,000 examples like that, but that's the one that sticks in my mind as the best way of describing the problems at Volkswagen. He was simply stating a fact: we're not as good at making vehicles as you think we are. And out he was forced. I will probably do some more reading about this. I'll try and find some extra insights for you over the next day or two and put together a bonus show. All right, let's move on because that's not the only news today. Ford CEO. Well, two big things coming out of Ford, actually. The Ford CEO, Jim Farley, revealed plans last night for a new midsize electric pickup. The new midsize electric pickup will be designed to compete strongly with affordable Chinese pickups. He highlighted this vehicle will be priced competitively with Chinese brands, especially those manufacturing in Mexico, following BYD's recent launch of its Shark plug-in hybrid. That's the electric pickup. Back in February, the CEO, Jim Farley, shared that Ford was developing a cost-efficient platform through a specialized team. Some people refer to it as a Skunk Works team. This group, which was, I think, really, really smart, siloed. So not having to operate within, you know, the wider Ford structure. He even joked recently, I think it was in the interview with Fully Charged and Robert Llewellyn, maybe I'm thinking of a different interview, he says his pass wouldn't get him into that building. Well, I respectfully disagree, Jim. I think you can go wherever you want to in Ford, my friend. I don't think they're kicking the CEO out. But, you know, I get what he was saying. Like, this is top secret. They are insulated from the rest of the pressures of the ongoing business to go and make a very, very efficient low-cost EV that is class-leading, that can beat the competitors. And so they went to hire from Tesla. They hired from Rivian. They hired from Lucid. They hired from Apple. And they, you know, they're led by Alan Clark, who worked on the Tesla Model Y. The initial model will be built on this platform they're making. It'll be a mid-size electric pickup. We now know that, which is offering more value, more range, more utility. During the media call last night after Ford's third quarter earnings, Jim Farley reiterated the company's goal to align with the cost structures of Chinese automakers that operate in Mexico, like BYD. The Shark launched in Mexico this year in May, and is set to compete directly with popular vehicles like the Ford Ranger. But that's a positive bit of news. We like that. We like new vehicle announcements, or at least being reassured that that is coming. What was more difficult was these comments from Ford's CEO yesterday were on an investor call following their Q3 results, which were challenging. There's that word again. So how did Ford do with regards to their EV business named the Model E? Well, Electrek.com writes, Ford's EV sales were up 12%, with 23,509 vehicles sold in Q3. After losing another $1.1 billion on its Model E business, Ford's EV losses reached $2.5 billion through the first half of 2024. Ford expects EV losses to reach between $5 and $5.5 billion for this year. Ford reported Q3 revenue of $46 billion. Meanwhile, Ford's net income slipped 25% to $900 million in the third quarter. The company said the lower profits included a $1 billion electric vehicle-related charge amid its strategy shift. The company's commercial and software business, Ford Pro, is the main growth driver, with volume and revenues up 9 and 13% respectively. Despite this, Ford's electric vehicle business is feeling the pressure. Ford Model E lost another $1.2 billion in Q3. Although revenue was down 33% to $1.2 billion, Ford said lower material and battery costs enabled it to achieve nearly $1 billion in cost improvements year-to-date. The improvements were not enough to overcome industry-wide pricing pressure, as Model E losses reached $3.7 billion through the first 9 months of the year. Ford expects to lose around $5 billion, like I say, on Model E this year. That extra $1 billion, by the way, which they chalked off to an electric vehicle-related charge, I believe that's they're referring to there is the three-row SUV project that's been cancelled. And so, you know, Apple were spending $1 billion a year on their cancelled project, and you know, Ford have had to write some big checks there as well. To reduce expenses, Ford intends to manufacture lithium iron phosphate batteries in Michigan beginning in 2026. Jim Farley noting that the California-based Skunk Works team has surpassed all of his expectations by streamlining vehicle design to lower costs and accelerate development. He also mentioned testing the Xiaomi SU7 electric vehicle from Shanghai, which he described as fantastic, stressing the importance of first-hand experience with competitor products. And that's why, you know, one of the things I love so much about Jim Farley, and, you know, you can follow his immensely successful career through Ford, through running Ford over here in Europe, doing an amazing job, and now CEO, at one of the most challenging jobs in the automotive business, no doubt about it. And I rate him so, so highly for having the confidence to come out and say, other companies do certain things better. And here's a great vehicle called a Xiaomi SU7 that's produced at a lower cost and is a fine vehicle. And a lot of CEOs wouldn't say that. But the CEO of Volkswagen had the, let's pick an appropriate word, confidence, almost swore, to say, hey, other people do some stuff better than us. And the way that Volkswagen is structured, he was booted out. I have no doubt that Ford are 100%, the Ford family are 100% behind Jim Farley. He's doing an amazing job. And he's saying the difficult things that most CEOs, no CEO says, some of the competitor products are better than what we do. Please go and drive them yourself. And I, you know, I think it's probably a struggle to get some Ford employees to even drive Ford EVs. No doubt. There's no doubt about it. You know, they need to get tens of thousands of their staff members into an EV just to try one. Well, I'll finish off with the Ford news. With a bit of good news, Ford has improved the charging experience for the F-150 Lightning and Mustang Mach-E with the new EV routing feature for Android. Announced at CES earlier this year, these enhancements enable easy trip planning by integrating the charging information into Google Maps, into the BMS. It's all wonderful. The new features made available yesterday with an over-the-air update. Like the Apple Maps feature, which they've had for over a year now in the Mustang Mach-E, this update streamlines trip planning for EV drivers using Android Auto. Users can check their battery level when arriving at a charging station. If you navigate to a charging station, the Fords and Android Auto now play nicely with the BMS. I'm used to it in the Polestar that I run, which runs Android natively, and it works really well. It's as close to a Tesla experience as you're going to get. It's got full access to all the car's battery systems, and it will tell you, you know, exactly where you need to stop, for how long you need to stop at each charger, the battery level when you get to that charger, and what it should get to when you leave if you're on a road trip. It's really, really good, the Android stuff. And that's now working on the Fords, which is fantastic. This update allows drivers to even locate Tesla superchargers inside Android Automotive. So obviously Ford, with an adapter, which some of them have been recalled, but not too many, can use the Tesla superchargers, and they're integrated into the mapping as well. absolutely brilliant. Oh, well done, Ford. This is great news for those owners. The vehicles will also precondition the battery while on the way, if you use Android Auto, to navigate to the supercharger, to a DC fast charger. Again, fully integrated into the BMS. Not the work of a moment, but hey, Ford software, I think, is... I know some people would like new things all the time and different displays of the charging rate and stuff like that in various places, but that is a really, really good update. All right, we'll take a quick break because I've done 14 minutes already. I'm sorry about that, and I've got a lot still to go. When we come back, we'll talk about the little Arbath 600 and why Scouts buyers seem to like Rexes. That would be range extenders. Back in a mo. Hey, thanks for sticking around. The podcast is even quicker if you're a Patreon supporter. patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Yeah, $5, $10, maybe more if you want to. Lots of individuals do contribute more, which gets this show on the air every day. This is all I do for a living. And hopefully you find this service useful and you learn something from it. Maybe it's good for your job or general interest, or you just love EVs. And same as me, then thank you very much to everyone on Patreon who puts this show on the air. Here in the UK, Peugeot has strengthened its relationship with the Royal Mail, supplying 2,100 electric little red vans, which include over 1,000 locally manufactured e-partner models. These vehicles are being rolled out for use and will be the first electric vans to display the King Charles cipher, of course. Now we have a king. The introduction of the electric vans enhances Royal Mail's operations during the busy Christmas period. When fully utilised, the new fleet is projected to reduce carbon emissions by 6,000 tonnes a year. You know what? It's so perfect. So perfect. Every Royal Mail vehicle, I'm sure if they had the money, they would do this immediately, should be electric. Because those vehicles start and stop so much. They start and stop like... a milk float, whether you have a milk delivery. We do have a milk delivery, by the way. It's wonderful. And it reminds me of, the 70s and 80s and hearing that little clinking of the milk bottles. Or a bin lorry or the Amazon van. Do you know what I mean? Like the DPD van. All they do all day long is they just stop start. And that is nuts with a diesel. When you think about it, you could use an electric car with regen or electric van or a diesel, which oftentimes they leave the engine running when they run up to your door and... often it's not, or they've got to start the van 4,000 times a day. It's bonkers. Just drive an electric car to do parcel deliveries or an electric van. Peugeot's been with the Royal Mail since 2009, supplying electric vans since 2014. And as of last month, September, Peugeot is the top electric van manufacturer in the UK with a 20% share of the light commercial van market. Hey, what about this bonkers little Arbath 600? Arbath is... the rapid bit. They take Fiats and make them, if not with bigger battery packs, then certainly lots of stuff to get excited about. And the Arbath 600e is the new high-performance electric vehicle available in the UK with a starting price of £41,975, competing with things like the Ford Puma ST. It's got a single motor that's found in the Alfa Romeo Junior. The Arbath variant is available in two versions, the standard and the limited edition Scorpionissima, with only 1,949 being made to celebrate Arbath's establishment in 1949. The Scorpionissima variant offers 279 brake horsepower and the front wheels, allowing it to do 0 to 62 in 5.9 seconds. The base model has not much less, actually, 237 brake horsepower versus 278. And it'll do the dash in only about half a second slower. Both versions will top out at 124 miles an hour. These are not, Autobahn motorway vehicles. These are for blatting around town, aren't they? The Arbath 600e has a 54 kilowatt hour battery pack, like the standard Fiat 600e, with enhanced cooling to minimise power loss during spirited driving. The increased power and wider Michelin Sport Pilot Sport EV tyres do lead to a slightly reduced range, 207 miles, down 45 miles on the standard 600. The vehicle has larger brake discs from Alcon and firmer suspension. Visually, the Arbath sets itself apart from the base Fiat, with more aggressive body styling, of course, a big front grille, big rear spoiler, 20-inch wheels, and some bucket seats and trim and graphics and all that. Same inside, the 10.25-inch infotainment screen, the 7-inch digital instrument display, from the regular one. They add a G-force meter to it, which is cool. Like the smaller Arbath 500e, an external speaker to mimic the sound of a petrol engine. nah, okay. Producing a deeper tone as the speed increases. Starting at 50 miles an hour, the feature is exclusive to the Scorpionissima variant. UK delivery start March next year. Fiat's 600e is built on the Stellantis CMP modular platform used in the Jeep Avenger and the Alfa Romeo Junior. The 500, the mini car, including the Arbath 500, has been launched in the US now. The 600, I don't think, will come to the US. I was having a look, incidentally, completely coincidentally, last weekend at used values of the Arbath 500, because we're not going to buy one, but we are when the MG ZS is sold, and it's over with Richard right now, R. Simons at rsev.co.uk, and he's kindly selling that for me. Then we need to replace that with something. And so my wife wants a small city car, smaller than the MG, when she's taking one of the kids, maybe, supermarket car parks. She loves the idea of a Zoe, and I was like, oh, I wonder how much Fiat 500Es are out of our price range. Massively, by the way. And so it wasn't serious. But I thought, oh, what about the Arbath? And she wouldn't know what one of those is and wouldn't want it. It's too quick and stuff. But holy moly, the depreciation on the Arbath 500E. I think there's a 23 plate on there for like 50% off what it would have been new. Woo! Someone has absolutely taken a bath on that. I guess it's a specialist vehicle of a specialist vehicle. It's a niche of a niche. But still, holy moly, wow. Range extenders are very popular with future Scout buyers. Scout Motors going to come back over the weekend. I've half written a bonus show all about the new Scout. It's like 50% done. I really want to finish it when the kids go to bed tonight. So the launch of the new pickup truck and the SUV. The SUV is the Traveller, the pickup is the Terra. And they also included, very, very cleverly, like the new Ram Charger, a Rex, a range extender, like the old BMW i3. Great. Rex technology is not particularly new. These days, they often call them EREVs. That's the new name rather than Rex, extended range electric vehicle, EREV. And the Scout EV forums are running a poll right now. Of all the people who have put $100 deposit down, asking which spec they went for, including the Harvester. Now, the Harvester is obviously, it's a throwback to the old name they used to have in the 70s, 80s, but also that's the name of the Rex version. The poll is still ongoing, but at the minute, 81% of respondents have chosen the Rex version. Of the 612 people in the forum, the Traveller is about 60%, and the Terra, the pickup truck, is about the other 40% or so. And importantly, 52.9% of those do not currently own an EV. So it's bringing new people into the EV market. But yeah, very, very interesting that Scout seem to have done a bit of a blinder with that, by the way. Having the Harvester range extender or the EREV, it has really captured people's imagination. And that's the one, according to at least this poll, that they're going for. Now, Scout Motors has, they've been very kind to share their data. Internal data supporting the forum's findings. Two-thirds of the reservations, according to Scout, about two-thirds of the Traveller, the SUV, one-third for the truck, but they wouldn't spill the beans on how many of those are going for the Rex. So that's interesting. So by the look of it, the range extender, very, very popular. Right, so I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, Tesla's rolled out adaptive headlights featuring Matrix technology in its software update 2024. What was it? I forgot. I'll have a look for you. .2.something. But however, this feature is not yet available in North America because of different regulations. Canada's allowed adaptive headlights since 2018. Obviously, we've got them over here. While the US has approved them through the NHTSA, other automakers like Rivian have already got adaptive headlights. But Tesla is still in the final stages of testing and rolling out. Lars Moravi, the VP of Vehicle Engineering, took to X to say the feature is very close to being launched. In the US, that's good news. Now, a follow-up to yesterday's podcast, Nissan has been seen testing prototypes of the Leaf. So I've said it yesterday that I'll go and have a look for some pictures of the new Leaf. I found some. That's some in camouflage driving around Japan by the look of the road signs. Didn't say they're in Japan, but it's not Sunderland, which is where it's made here in the northeast of England. And it'll be the third generation of the Leaf. The car is covered in typical black and white camouflage seen on test vehicles. Not all the big black padding, which means we get to see more of its shape. The updated model will launch in 2025 in the UK, 26 in the US. The current Leaf starts at $30,000 in the US, but of course, CHAdeMO and slightly old technology, not everyone goes for it. The new generation will have a higher price, obviously, but it'll actually be a physically taller vehicle, more of a crossover. I would say it looks a little bit, in silhouette form, quite swoopy, actually. I think it reminded me of the Volkswagen ID7 that's been through a hot wash. You know, I mean, like a shrunken version of the ID7, a bit taller, but otherwise, some stuff in there that reminded me of that. Hey, that's no bad thing, by the way. Nissan, very, very aero-efficient. Nissan plans to produce the new model around the world, obviously Japan and Sunderland as well in the UK, a hub for EV vehicle production with the battery plant literally next door. It's the other side of the road. There's a walkway over the main road if you go to Sunderland. You've got the Nissan plant one side, and then you've got a thing that I think is like a little mini train line that sort of moves goods over the main road. Other side of the road is the battery factory. So it's like the ideal setup. Aerovolt has acquired a Microlite flying club in Goodwood, down here on the south of England, to advance their EV software. This acquisition enables Aerovolt to test their platforms during actual EV flight and interactions with pilots. The club uses two popular light sport aircraft, but will transition to electric models soon. The Squadron platform is designed to enhance club management, offering online tools, how to charge electric aircraft, billing as well. The software is already in the aircraft, but interesting that Aerovolt went and bought a flying club to purely test out their own, you know, light aircraft. And general aviation in this country is a very popular thing, I think. And moving to electric power, particularly with the reductions in noise, there's loads of little airfields dotted around the UK. Fascinating to know how many there are, actually. No one really knows they're kind of there. But a lot of them will have different patterns you can't fly because of, you know, local residents and housing and stuff. But that all goes away with electric flight, especially with, sort of small two-seater type aircraft. Once they're kind of off the ground, you really can't hear them. And, that's fantastic as well. So we look forward to seeing more about electric light aircraft. And finally, you know how people say EVs are batteries on wheels? Have you heard that before? People say, I've said it on the podcast, a bit of a cliche, actually, but I'm guilty of saying it. Oh, EVs, oh, they're batteries on wheels. Well, in China, I love these things. In China, they've gone and invented a battery on wheels. I mean, it literally is a battery on wheels that will come to you. Wuling, a Chinese EV manufacturer, unveiled the two mobile EV charging stations. One station is like a small ice cream cart. The other one is about 7.5 feet tall. That's about 2.2 meters and 6.5 feet long, about 2 meters long. Notably, the larger station is autonomous. So it has, I'm guessing, LiDAR and radar and cameras. It's hard to tell from the pictures. But it is basically a giant box with four wheels on each corner. And it's a self-driving autonomous thing that's basically a big battery. It's aimed at easing EV charging wait times at certain hubs. So if for some reason, I don't know, there's just a bit of a queue that, like, this one particular charging hub gets really busy for whatever reason in a crowded urban area, these little batteries on wheels, autonomously, they can go out from the depot and go and form a row of new EV chargers. The more advanced model has 141 kilowatt hour battery, and it's $42,000. The smaller one's 30 kilowatt hours battery. And Wuling refers to them as mobile energy storage charging vehicles, tailored to meet the needs of the Chinese market. They look so funny looking at these, but they literally are batteries on wheels. But they'll drive themselves, and they'll go to a place that they're needed and charge up cars, which is amazing. That's your podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. As always, thank you. If I couldn't do this without you, thank you so much to all of our Patreon supporters. Very, very kindly keeping this show on the air, keeping my lights on as well. Thank you very much. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good and see tomorrow. Hey, you must never forget, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.